I want to preach to you about greater faith for this year. I want to preach to you about having faith for this year as we stand at the threshold of a new year, 2012. What would God say to us? And I really feel this passage in John chapter 4 will speak to us this morning and stir us this morning. And so let's open our hearts and our minds to hear God's word. And we're going to read John chapter 4 from verse 43 together. John chapter 4, verse 43, and it says, "After 2 days he departed for Galilee, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. And he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine." And that was real wine. It wasn't grape juice. Let's throw that in. "And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. And when this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, 'Unless you see signs and wonders, you'll not believe.' And the official said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go, your son will live.' And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. And so he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, 'Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him.'" That's lunchtime. "And the father knew that this was the hour when Jesus had said to him, 'Your son will live.' And he himself believed, and all his household. And this was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee." This is God's word. So may God speak to us this morning as we come to his word. And I want to preach to you this morning on greater faith for this year, that we would have greater faith, that God would stir our faith for this year as we trust him for greater things this year. Here we have a story of a Roman official, maybe worked in Herod's court, and he was on a faith journey for his son because his son was dying. His son was ill. And he sought out Jesus. He came to find Jesus. He was on a faith journey. And friends, we're on a faith journey this year as well, aren't we? As we trust Jesus, we're on a faith journey this year. And we want God to do great things amongst us this year, don't you? We want God to do great things in your life this year. We want this to be the best year ever, 2012, 2012. And so we're a church not just of grace, but we're a church also full of faith, and we want that faith to grow this year. And we find that this is another personal encounter. I preached on a few of these at the end of last year, another personal encounter with Jesus. We looked at Nicodemus, we looked at the Samaritan woman. Here we have this official that came whose son was ill, and it's the second great sign in the book of John. John writes about these great signs, there's seven of them. And he says, these signs were given that we may believe in Jesus, and through believing in him, we may have life. These signs were given. And here we have Jesus himself is transferring his ministry to Galilee, because in Judea, the people wanted to kill him. So it's a good reason to transfer your ministry, or perhaps look for a new church, because they were after him. And John the Baptist has already been arrested, and things are hotting up for Jesus. So he transfers his ministry. And here we have this rich official in Herod's court, and he comes looking for Jesus because he's not just an official, he's also a father. And back home, you see, we've all got a personal life, and we've got a public life and a personal life. And publicly, he was an official. Maybe you're a school teacher. Maybe you're an engineer. Maybe you have another job doing something publicly. But privately, he was a father, and in his home, there was a problem that he couldn't solve. That the Herod's court couldn't solve, the political system couldn't solve. We find another story about Jairus, the synagogue ruler, who also fell at Jesus' feet, who had a sick child. And friends, there's certain things in life that politics and money, nothing will solve. Only Jesus can solve. You find there's certain things only Jesus can solve. And this man realized that. He'd heard about Jesus. He'd heard about these miracles he was performing, and he realized, look, I've got a problem. If I don't do something, my son's going to die. And he began to look for Jesus. And we're living in a time in the world where we're seeing global unrest because people are realizing, listen, governments and the state can't solve all our problems. they can't solve our problems, and we find people are looking elsewhere for answers. And this man was like that as well. He realized he didn't have the answers, but he sought out Jesus. And we need to continue to pray for this nation, that people would turn to Jesus to find the answers. Because there's some answers, most answers, only Jesus can answer. And it was great this weekend. I just want to turn aside and mention this, but it was great this weekend to know we're living in a weekend where the ANC are celebrating 100 years, their centenary, right now this weekend. And we praise God for the end of apartheid. We praise God for the changes, and we thank God for the way God ultimately brings the changes in any nation. He hears the cries of people, but we thank God for the role the ANC played over the years in bringing about liberation for all the people of South Africa. We do thank God for that. The end of colonialism, and South Africa became independent in 1994, and we thank God for that. And we want to keep praying for our nation as well. But friends, this nation needs the gospel. This nation needs the gospel more and more. And as I was driving yesterday in my car, and I was listening on the radio to the ANC celebrations, they said, well, President Zuma is now being given a spear in order to kill the bull, in order for cleansing of the nation, and also for you know, we're speaking to traditional healers and sangomas in order to consult the ancestors that we may have a blessing upon our nation. And I just want to say this morning that these are not matters of culture, but these are matters of light and darkness. And when we're looking to kill a bull for cleansing in a nation, that's a false atonement for sin and for trouble. And when we're consulting ancestors, we're consulting demons to speak and bless the nation, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. We need to trust God in these days for the gospel of Jesus Christ to reach this nation. And we need to not just shake our heads as Christians and say, that's not good. We need to pray for President Zuma. We need to pray for our government that they would come to see Jesus. That they'd come to realize that these political systems, religious systems, interfaith, whatever that means, it holds no hope and no answers. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. How can a bull that eats grass, how can a bull cleanse a nation? We need Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God who shed his blood for the sins of the whole world. Lord Jesus, we pray this morning for our great nation. And in the midst of these celebrations, Lord, we pray, may your gospel grip our nation. May you save our political leaders. May you send revival to this land. Because we know it's only righteousness that exalts a nation. And it's the righteousness of Jesus that we're after. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. But here was a father whose son was also very sick, and he'd heard about the power of Jesus. And this was not just his son, maybe it was his only son, but this was also his future, because the future inheritance of his family, the future inheritance of his family name was dependent on his son. And if his son died, the family name was going to die with the son. And so it's so important for us to realize this in the Bible, this thing about generational blessing, about fathers and sons and God working through generations. And even in our church as well, we've been talking a lot about fathers and sons. And we want the name of Jesus. That's our family name. To go from one generation to the next. It's so exciting to have our young people on a camp at the moment, lifting up the name of Jesus. And friends, that's what we want to do as well. We want to keep praying for the young people in this church. And those of us that are getting older and need glasses to read, small print, we want to make sure that the young people begin to outstrip us and they begin to take on positions of leadership. That's my heart more and more. But here was a man who had a family who was in trouble, and he began to look for Jesus, and he began to seek for Jesus, that something would happen in his home. We want to pray for people this morning. Maybe as you face this year, you say, well, I've got some challenges this year. There's some financial challenges. There's some health challenges. I have some family challenges. We want to pray for you this year as well. The sermon was preached by Charles Spurgeon, who was one of the greatest preachers, on the 27th of May, 1860. And he preached on the same text. And I want to read you a short paragraph. The English is a bit complicated, but just listen. He says this. He was called the Prince of Preachers. He says, there was a nobleman living in Capernaum, and he hears a rumor that a celebrated prophet and preacher is going through the cities of Galilee and Judea, and is given to understand that this mighty preacher does not merely tickle the ears of every hearer, but wins the hearts of men by his miracles, which he works as a confirmation of his mission. And he stores these things in his heart, little thinking that they'll ever be of practical service to him. And it comes to pass on a certain day that his son falls sick. Perhaps his only son. One very dear to his father's heart. And the sickness, instead of diminishing, gradually increases. Fever breathes its hot breath upon the child. Ooh, this is great preaching. And they pronounce him hopeless. No cure can possibly be found. The child is at the point of death. The arrow of death has almost sunk into his flesh. It has well nigh penetrated his heart. He is not just near death merely, but at death's very point. He has been forced by disease upon the barbed arrows of that hungry archer. The father now thinks to himself, and he calls to recollection the stories he's heard of the cures by Jesus of Nazareth. There's a little faith in his soul, but a little enough to make him use every effort to test the truth of what he's heard. Jesus Christ has come to Cana again. It's some 15 or 20 miles. The father travels with all speed. He arrives at the place where Jesus is. His faith has got to such a stage that as soon as he sees the master, he begins to cry, Lord, please come, or my child will die. Oh, that's Spurgeon on that same text. Perhaps we should have read his whole sermon this morning. And he begins to talk to Jesus. But you see, the father also understands, God also understands what it is to have a suffering son. And Jesus begins to reach out to him. And friends, we need to do the same this year. I'm still busy with my introduction. We need to do the same this year. There are people that are going to come across your path this year that have needs. There are people going to come across your path that do not have answers to their problems. Their family problems, personal problems, challenges and needs. And need is often an open door where people begin to seek for God. They begin to seek Jesus. That's how I got saved. And we need to be sensitive this year to others and the needs of others. We mustn't just be so caught up in our own lives, telling our own stories. Some of us just listen to Christian CDs. We need to listen to the music and the stories of others. Be able to enter into their world. Be able to tell them about Jesus and lead them to Christ and bring them to church. We want this year to be a year where many come to know Jesus. As we enter into their stories, as we look for needs, as we look for openings and opportunities, let me encourage you to do that this year. And we find that Jesus took this man and he spoke into his situation and he moved him from one level of faith to another. And he began to do miracles in his life. He healed his son. And as I've said to you already, these healings are signs that God is real and God is alive. Because Christianity is not just a set of doctrine and a set of principles. We have so many churches these days, they're teaching you principles. Principles for this, principles for... Principles are okay. But we're not just talking about principles. We're talking about connecting to Jesus, connecting to his life. And John says, these signs were given that you may believe, and through believing, you may have life. Christianity is a life. It's a different life. It's a resurrection life. We're not just following teaching. We're following the words of Jesus. We're following the life of Jesus. And there were these seven signs in the Gospel of John. The changing of water into wine. The healing of the nobleman's son. The healing of the paralyzed man. The feeding of the 5,000. The walking on the water. The healing of the blind man. And the raising of Lazarus were these signs that God gave that Jesus is alive. Not just then, but even today, God is alive. And there are signs of his working in our lives and in our hearts and in our church. And as we share these testimonies, it encourages us and we know God is alive. And so let's go back to the story and let's look at this nobleman's faith. First of all, I want you to see where he began with Jesus. And he began with what I would call level one faith. level one faith, which is like a seeking faith. He began to, as Spurgeon was telling us, he'd heard about Jesus and he went to find Jesus. Level one faith, it's where we all start. It's when God gives you faith, when God begins to open your eyes, you begin to realize Jesus is real. I need him. It awakens you. That faith gives you energy. It opens you up. It mobilizes you. It changes you. This man took a few days off work. He traveled 15 to 20 miles. He began to look for Jesus because he had a flicker of faith in his heart. And he knew, if I just find Jesus, maybe my situation will change. It was level one faith. It was weak faith. But it was okay because God can use that. God can use small faith. If you have faith like a mustard seed, God can use it. God can reach into your life. God can change your situation. It's not enough to save you, but it's a good start. And it got this man on the road. And people's needs are God's opportunities wherever we go. People's needs are God's opportunities. And God can use them. And Jesus does that as well. He begins to speak to this man. And I want you to know two other things about this level one faith. First of all, I want you to notice how the man brought Jesus into his situation. He didn't just face it alone. He didn't, as they say, a boer maak 'n plan. He didn't just try and make a plan himself. He didn't just trust his own resources and his own ingenuity. He went to look for Jesus. This year, 2012, whatever you face this year, whatever you go through this year, bring Jesus into the situation. We just sang that song this morning, Lord, be the center of everything I go through. Bring Jesus. Don't face it on your own. Bring him into the situation. And we find the moment he meets Jesus, he begins to open up. He's more transparent. He's more open. We learn his son's dying. Before, we just knew he was ill. And the moment you begin to connect with Jesus, you'll find your heart also opens. Something happens. You will never leave Jesus unaffected and untouched. And this man brings Jesus into the situation. I want you to see, secondly, he's not put off when Jesus adjusts him a bit. Jesus kind of rebukes him a bit. He comes, he says, please come to my house and pray for my son. Jesus said, you people will never believe unless you see signs and wonders. What a thing to say to him. But notice, he's not put off by what Jesus says. He's not offended. He's not put off. He brushes it aside. He says, Lord, you've got to come and heal my son. You've got to come and heal my son. So I want to encourage you this morning as well, as you go through this year, don't let anything bump you out the race this year. Don't let anything bump you out the race. He expected Jesus to come with him home. Jesus said, I'm not going with you. He gave him five words. Go, your son will live. And the man said, oh, he's not coming with me. He's spoken the word, and off he went. And he was not offended. Don't let other Christians, don't let other situations, don't let things you go through this year cause you to be offended, cause you to be bumped out the race, cause you to get disillusioned with God. But God, you said you were going to do it like this and you did it like that. Don't do that. This man didn't do that. He held on to God. He held on to God. And Jesus began to minister to him. And we find his son is later healed. So don't do that. This is level one faith. Even at level one faith, he's learning lessons. But then he gets to level two faith. If you like, what was level two faith? Level two faith was when Jesus spoke to him. And Jesus said to him, okay, go, your son will live. What is level two faith? Level two faith, friends, look at me. Level two faith is when you simply take God at his word. You simply take God at his word. You just say, I'm going to believe God this year. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And this man, he wasn't even saved yet. He just took God at his word. He took God at his word. He believed the word of God. And he went home a distance of 15 miles. He just turned around and walked home. And friends, this year I want to encourage you that we are obedient to God. Whatever God says to you this year, just do it. Whatever God says to you this year, just do it. Just be obedient. We need to be a people increasingly obedient to the voice of God. Just do it like this nobleman did. God is looking for that obedience that comes from faith. God is looking, Romans 1 verse 5, is an obedience that comes from faith, like this man did. And I want you to notice as well that Jesus healed his son at the seventh hour, which was lunchtime. But he only got home the next day. He only got home the next day. So he could have walked home that same day, but he didn't. He only got home the next day. Why did he only get home the next day? Because he was full of faith and he took his time. He was not in a hurry anymore. He was not anxious anymore. Maybe he stopped over. Maybe he saw some friends. But he had the word of God with him this time. And so he only got home the next day. They said, "When was my son healed?" He said, "No, he was healed yesterday." He took his time. He wasn't anxious anymore because God had spoken. He didn't go home alone. To quote a favorite movie for kids, he went home with the word of God in his heart. He was armed with the word of God. He didn't go home alone. Michael Eaton says, "This man is being invited to a higher kind of faith, a faith that does not have to see anything, a faith that is confident and trusting simply on the basis of God's word." The man accepts what Jesus says. And there's huge blessing that comes from this kind of faith when we simply believe God. The world says to us, seeing is believing. But the Bible tells us that believing is seeing. That faith, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, faith is the substance. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And we want to be a people this year that walk by faith, friends, not just by sight. We want to be a people that believe God and believe on His word. Only five words, "Go, your son will live." And he held on to that and he walked home. Philippians chapter 4 tells us, do not be anxious about anything. Some of you are going to face anxieties this year. There are going to be tests this year. There are going to be difficulties this year. Hold on to God's word. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Come on, you know the verse. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God will bring us through this year as we look to Him. And I believe God wants to speak a word of faith to us this year, to raise our faith to higher levels, to trust Him personally. What are you trusting God for this year? Trust Him to be at work in your life. Trust Him to be at work in this congregation. Trust Him for growth this year. You see, the words of God have creative power because the Word is a person. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God's words are not just words, they're actually a person. They have creative power to change situations. And I want you to notice that that word that Jesus spoke to him took him into a new season. It took him into the new, into his future. It gave him hope. It was a life-giving word for the father, for the son in particular, he got healed, and for the whole family. The word carried him into the future. We are going to need increasingly the words of God to carry us forward, to propel us forward. It filled him with hope. It filled him with expectation. And so I want to encourage you, encourage myself this year. Let's trust God at His word this year. Let's trust God's word this year as He speaks His word to us. Let Him speak to you that His words will carry you through 2012. God's word is trustworthy. God's word fills us with faith and expectation. I believe God has great things for us this year. Next week, we start a new series called 1 John, Knowing God. Knowing God, 1 John. I want you to start reading 1 John. Klein Johannes. It's the one near the maps. It's not the one in the middle of the New Testament. It's 1 John, not the Gospel of John. Start reading 1 John, Knowing God. I believe it's going to be one of the deepest series we've done. And it's not just getting to know God better. It's also so that we can love one another and become more missional. Give yourself to that this year. Give yourself to the preaching of the Word of God this year. We're a church who preaches through series so that you can be totally built up. We're preaching the whole counsel of God. We preached last year, we preached through Ruth. We've preached through Jonah. We've preached through Acts. We've preached through the life of David. We've preached through Colossians. We've preached through 1 Peter. It's how you build people up in the faith. And this year we want to preach from next week on 1 John. Give yourself to that. Don't miss a Sunday. Sit under the Word this year. Have a new attitude to the Word of God this year. Say, "I'm going to, Lord, I want to tremble at your Word this year. I want you to keep speaking to me this year, Lord. I'm not going to miss a Sunday. And if I do, because I've had to go and have a baby at the hospital, we'll give you off for that. When you come back, Get the CD. Listen to the message. Let the Word of God build you up in your most holy faith this year. Let God speak to you. We're a church that's been richly blessed in the preaching of the Word of God. And this year we want to lay hold of it afresh. We want God to help us. These are the tools we have to live the Christian life. Bring your friends as well as we sit under the Word of God this year. Let God speak to us over and over and over again. And that's what happened to this father. But finally, I want you to see that he got to level three faith, where he became fully assured of who Jesus was. Let's have a look at the text again. He became fully assured. John chapter 4, verse 53. It says here, from verse 51, and as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, yesterday at lunchtime, the fever left him. The father knew that that was the hour that Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed, and all his household. What had happened? He now became fully assured of who Jesus was. In the beginning, there was a stirring of faith. He went to look for Jesus. Then God spoke to him. He was obedient to God's word. But when he got home and he heard his son was healed, he became fully assured. And his wife and his children and his servants and everyone in his family became believers. Now he knows that Jesus is real. He's not just had an answer to prayer. He began seeking God's hand, and eventually he began to see God's face. You may begin seeking God's hand for something. Eventually, you begin to see his face. You realize he's real. He's real. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. How was he assured of that? How did he know that? How did he become fully assured? What happened to him? I want to suggest a few things. This is important to listen to. He became fully assured in his faith by observation, by asking some questions and thinking things through. He thought through his encounter with God and he realized, hang on a minute, Jesus spoke at lunchtime yesterday. When did my son get healed? He was healed at lunchtime yesterday. But that was the time Jesus spoke, the same time he was healed. And he suddenly began to realize what he was dealing with was not just a word from God, he was dealing with God himself. Suddenly he began to realize there's more to this than a word. There's more to this than a healing. Jesus, he's God. I had an encounter with God. I had an encounter with the living God. And he became fully assured. You see, he began to realize that God was working in his life in a personal way. He became fully assured when he realized the time of recovery. He joined the dots. He made the connection. He reflected on what God had done yesterday in his life, and it filled him with fresh faith for today. It was a higher level of faith. And friends, sometimes, and I include myself, we don't grow in faith because we don't always think through what God has been doing in our lives. And God is often working in our lives, and he's doing stuff. In the holidays, we were thinking back on 2011, getting ready for 2012, getting really spiritually, getting into God's Word. And I began to think, well, what have I really achieved in 2011? And I'm 51 now, and am I still a blessing to people? I know you never go through that, but sometimes I do. And then a few friends started to phone me up that had come to South Africa and come to Cape Town on holiday, and as they phoned me, they said, we want to thank you for 20 years ago, that word you had for us. And you remember, and I've forgotten these things because I don't remember all these details. And I suddenly thought, yeah, that's right. And they started to remind me of what God had done. And friends, we need to be the same, because it encouraged me as well. We need to think through what God did for us last year as we begin this year. Am I communicating with you? We need to think through it. We need to remember how God helped us and how God healed us and how God met us financially and the way God was involved in our lives. And we must begin to see the hand of God in our lives. And we need to stop and reflect and ponder and observe and remember what God did and bring that into 2012. So you don't start 2012 with an empty blank sheet. You start 2012 on the blessings of 2011 and 2010 and 2009 and 8 and 7 and 6 and some of us 70 years back. You begin the new year on the faithfulness of God from yesterday. That's how you live your Christian life. You build on yesterday. You build on what God has done previously. You don't start the new year with nothing. What's my New Year's resolution this year? No, no, no. Your resolution this year is to trust God for greater things, because last year He's been faithful. And you build upon that as well. You grow in faith. What God did last year is a starting point for this year. And God is with us. Because one of the things that the devil wants to constantly do in our lives, listen carefully, is give you a negative view of your past. He wants to give you a negative view of your past. Because you can't build in the future if you've got a negative view of the past. But Jesus builds from one year to the next year. The Bible says in Proverbs, the path of the righteous is like the dawn of a new day, growing brighter and brighter until the full day has come. And we as we start this year, do you remember God's goodness to you last year? Do you remember the things He did in your life last year? How He answered you specifically, what He did in your life, in your finances, in your situation. Some of you were studying. We don't know where we can get the money from. You've completed a year. You're about to start your next year. That's the faithfulness of God. Eugene Peterson says, a Christian with a good memory avoids repeating old sins and remembers the best way out of complex situations. Obedience today has a history in a data bank we can use to evaluate our position and make decisions. A Christian with a bad memory has to start everything from scratch. And we need to remember what God has done. We need to remember what He's done in our lives. And that's what this guy did, this father did. He remembered, hang on a minute, what God did even yesterday, and it filled him with faith for today. Don't forget what God has done in your life. Build upon yesterday. Build upon 2011 as you charge into 2012, knowing the goodness of God. And finally, please notice that such faith affected his whole family. It affected his entire family and his community. Christianity is personal, but it's not private. It's personal, but it's not private. And it affected those around him. He became missional. And believing fathers and mothers have a huge influence on their families, just like bad parents can mess up kids. And this guy had a tremendous influence upon his family. And God doesn't want, listen carefully, and I'm preaching to myself, God doesn't want our families to be divided in glory. He wants you and your household to be saved. And this man's whole family came to faith because of the father's faith, because of what Jesus had done in his life. And this man's faith grew from level one, just seeking, heard about Jesus, I'll pop into that church. What, Grace Jen, where there? Scottsville Primary School? Let me just pop in there. Let me just see. And God speaks to him. We need to get folk to our meetings that God can speak to them. We need to be open to their needs. And he takes him to level two. And he just takes God's word. He says, Lord, I'm going to believe your word. I'm going to believe your word. And he goes home. And he comes to level three, where he's fully assured. This is God I've dealt with. This is God who spoke to me. And he believes. And his whole house, they believe. And his life has changed. Friends, are you ready to be such a sign for Jesus this year? To be a sign for Jesus in your home and in your community. Signs point to something. Signs are something that make you wonder. It's like an exit sign. You don't sit and stare at the sign. It's telling you that's the way out. Jesus gives these signs that people may believe in him. And this man's faith grew from level one, level two, level three, until he was fully assured. And my prayer for us this year, God wants to speak to us this year. I feel in my own personal life just a new love and just a new desire to get into God's word this year. Come with me as we journey through 1 John this year. It's going to be an amazing series as we look at different things. Fellowshipping with God. We're going to look at sin. We're going to look at what does it mean to be in the world. We're going to look at what it means to love one another, truly love one another. That's why this congregation's a miracle. God has put a love for one another in our hearts. Commit yourself to God's word this year. Commit yourself to 1 John. Commit yourself to prayer this year. Say, Lord, I want you to speak to me this year. As we stand at the beginning of 2012, I know you've been good last year, and I begin this year with you in Jesus' name. And we'll become like this nobleman whose faith levels increased, and your faith levels will increase, and we'll see greater things from God this year in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.